Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me, if you would please, to Matthew's Gospel, the 17th chapter. If you've been in church for a little while, this will be a familiar passage to you. And I will warn you, I'm sorry, but I'm still dealing with the cold has passed, but now I have the allergy business. So still have the stuff collecting in my throat, and I apologize if I'm carrying on with it, but it sounds like some of the rest of you are too, so we're all in this together. Chapter 17, beginning verse number 1. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. Just then there appeared before them Moses, Elijah, talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it's good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down to the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." Amen. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the privilege that you give to me of expounding this word, your word of truth. I will readily proclaim my inadequacy to give justice to this passage. But I lean in to you right now, to your Holy Spirit, that you would speak to us and speak specifically to each individual heart. And may you be honored. May you be glorified. May you be praised. May we take another step forward in you, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, we like to say that the Lord does not show favoritism. He treats everybody the same. And there is truth in that statement, in that whosoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Praise the Lord. We're not redeemed or saved by the measure of our goodness or our perfection. I've shared this with you several times before, but I think that it's something to bring out one more time. Oh, wait a minute. I'm trying. There it is. I didn't touch it. It moved. There are different groups in the Bible and different ministry to those different groups. You can see up on the screen there. Jesus ministered to the multitude. And when he ministered to the multitude, he ministered to them in parables. And he ministered to their external needs. He healed all the sick. He also ministered to them in deliverance so that the evil spirits would not be able to plague them and throw them into the fire, as we studied a couple weeks ago. But he only took them so far. he told his disciples he was going to speak to the multitudes only in parables, lest they understand and believe. That was kind of a strange statement in a way, but he did not want them to simply respond to him and to his kingdom by information. It had to be at the spirit level. Those who worship the Lord must worship him in spirit and in truth. But there was another group, we call them, and the scripture calls them, the disciples. The disciples then, he often would take the disciples, or maybe more than often, always, after he taught the multitude in parables, he took the disciples aside and explained the parables to them. That was because he was not only wanting them to understand the truth of the message, but he was wanting to plant it inside of them, and he ultimately then sent them out to preach and to teach that same message, often going before him. Then there was this third group, Peter, James, and John. They would ultimately become the leaders of the church. And to them, he took them to another level. We see them represented here in this passage this morning where he reveals to them his glory. Now, I do not believe that this is necessarily a special club. I believe that two things are in operation here. One, they submitted themselves to the working and the desire of the Lord. So he, in turn, was giving them a mission. He was giving them tasks to do, which needed another level of intimacy with him. I believe that that was part of it, but the other part was they were willing to go to that more intimate place. You can think about it, study the scripture to ascertain this. But because I believe that their willingness was so very important, it does take me to the next step, which to say there is a level of relationship with the Lord where some are invited to see the glory of the Lord before they die. And I believe that that goes beyond Peter, James, and John. I think it comes to us. In every church that I've pastored over the last 40 years, I have seen people who were hungry. Hungry to experience a level in the Lord that went beyond any show, went beyond anything that they could describe. It took them, if I can put it in this term, a little higher up on the mountain to want to see the glory of the Lord. So I guess you'd say that what I'm saying to you in this statement I have found to be true in some people's lives. These are not just words, but I truly believe this and I have seen this. There's a level of relationship with the Lord where some are invited to see the glory of the Lord before they die. Now, I nearly always will try my best to preach to you and to all of you everything that I'm preaching. But I have to say to you today that I realize that not everybody is going to want to go here. Now, in somewhat that breaks my heart, but I'm also a realist in understanding that not everybody is going to want this level of relationship with the Lord. But if you will allow me this morning, I want to point you in the direction of something that is possible at the point in your life that you would desire to have this level of intimacy with the Lord.
a level of intimacy where he reveals his glory to you personally. Honestly, there's nothing that I could say. There's little that I could do that could ever bring you to this place, because it is about spiritual hunger and it is about spiritual willingness. My message to you this morning, the points are really quite simple. I wanted them very simple because you're either going to get this or you're not. But again, just know that it's there. You may think, oh, you know, I've gone as far as I need to go in the Lord. I know that I'm saved. I'm going to go to heaven, and that's really what matters to me. And praise the Lord for that. I'm so thankful for the redemptive power in Jesus. You may say, well, you know, I know that I'm saved, and you know, I love to be in a good service where I can feel the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. We will do our best to yield to His Spirit so that you can come into this house and experience the presence of the Lord. But again, I believe that there is some of you, maybe a few of you, who would realize that there is another plane of relationship where the Lord Himself will reveal His glory. I should add one more thing, and that is, this doesn't make you any spiritually better. As a matter of fact, if you would continue forward, even in our Gospels here, you will find that James and John one day came to Jesus and said, Lord, would you do for us what we're asking of you? Now, these are the two boys who are up on the mountain. He said, well, what is it? They said, well, when you come into your kingdom, can one of us sit on your right hand and the other one on your left hand? Exalted places. Jesus said, you're getting it all wrong. He says, the greatest among you should be the most humble. Consider themselves to be the least. And I believe that true search or research or yielding to the Lord will yield that kind of a heart that is a humble heart, that is not one that is lifted up and look at me. No, no, no. The more that I read, the more that I study, the more that I learn, the more time that I spend with the Lord, the more that I realize I don't know anything. I live for those times where I can be in His presence. Can't explain it. Got to experience it in order to know what I'm talking about, but just where you're just lost in His presence and His glory fills the place. Oh, one more thing before we move on, and that is, it doesn't always take place in church. Doesn't always take place during your daily devotional time. I've been walking through a grocery store before, and all of a sudden, oh my goodness, the glory of the Lord. Well, it's in those moments I don't know what to do with myself. Sometimes tears come streaming. Sometimes I just sort of stop. Then I feel like I'm in the wrong world. It's like everybody else around me, you're in the wrong place. Because it's not about Kmart, it's not about Walmart, it's not about JC. It's about being on the mountain of the Lord in His presence, and all of a sudden He pulls back and you see His glory. Hallelujah. Oh, I think there's a few of you that are hungering for this. Let's see if we can't dig into this a little bit more. If there is a longing in you, let me just read this so I get it right. If there's a longing in you to see the glory of the Lord before you die, may I suggest following His instructions to Peter, James, and John. Amen? I think there's something here for us. Look at the first thing. Get up. Get up. This transfiguration, you know, people say, why did this happen? Well, just to give you just a quick nutshell, if you remember when Moses had his first encounters with the Lord,
The Lord said, when you get the people out of Egypt, this was all revelation. Moses was stuck at that burning bush thinking he couldn't. And God said, you can because I can. You can because I am. He said, when you get out, come back to this mountain. He said, I want to meet with you. And Moses did. And he went up onto that mountain and the law gave him what we call the Mosaic Covenant, or the covenant of the law. Jesus, nearing the end of his ministry, was called to the mountain because he was going to be the administrator, the executor of the new covenant. And so he is sealing it there. And Moses was there. What does it say? They were talking about, one of the other gospels says they were talking about what was getting ready to happen. Can you imagine the conversation? Here's Jesus, the Son of God, with Moses standing there and Elijah. Now, Elijah had another mountaintop experience. You may remember when he went up there and all the prophets of Baal, he brought them in. And fire fell from God and gave soul proof that God was the only God. So, you see, Elijah, kind of the leader of the prophets, if you will, was used to a mountaintop experience with God as well, and he's there. But just imagine that conversation for a moment as Jesus says, okay, here's what's about to happen. Moses, do you remember when the Father gave you the covenant of the law there on the mountain? And he told you to go down the mountain and to build an altar and to sacrifice on that altar for the remission of the people's sins. He said, now I have come from the Father and I'm going to be that sacrifice on the altar. My blood is going to be the salvation of all mankind who will believe on me. I got a feeling that old Moses was going, dancing before the Lord. Can't believe it. No more bulls, no more goats, no more lambs, no more birds, no more nothing. Hallelujah! One Savior, the Son of God. And oh, Elijah, you know, when Jesus lays it out, this is what is getting ready to happen. He says, oh my. He says, what's going to happen after that? And Jesus says, oh, listen to me. I'm going to ascend back to my Father, and my Father is going to send the third person of the Trinity, the Spirit. Hey, Elijah, do you remember that Spirit that would come upon you and you would do marvelous miracles? Do you remember that Spirit that was upon you there on that mountain? Glory! Glory! Don't you know? That Spirit is going to come and dwell in every believer's heart and life. They will be filled with that Spirit. Elijah says, oh, hallelujah. What a day. What a day. That's what the transfiguration was all about. How'd they get there? Well, they were down on the bottom of the mountain. Verse number 28, Jesus said, truly I tell you, some who are standing here will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in the kingdom. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. To do what? To do what Jesus did on a regular basis, and he encourages us to do without ceasing. He said to them, come on, we're going to pray. You know, I've thought about this. If Jesus would have said to all the 12, okay, we're going up on the mountain and my glory is going to be revealed. Moses is going to be there and Elijah is going to be there. How many of you believe that all 12 of the brothers would have wanted to go? Are you here? I said, how many of you believe that all 12 of the brothers would have wanted to go if he would have said, you're going to see my glory, Moses is going to be there, Elijah is going to be there. How many of you believe that they would have all said, we want to go? But don't you know when he said, I'm going up to pray, that they were all, nine of them were content to say, we'll just stay here. Lord, we'll pray down here. He said, well, why? Well, for one thing, they went up on a mountain to pray. Ever climb a hill? Just climb those stairs. If I were to say this morning, we're going to have a prayer meeting upstairs, there would be a number of you would say, where's the elevator? And not just because you have arthritis in your knees, back, or hips, but simply because it takes so much effort to walk. Well, imagine if I said, hey, we're going to pray up on the mountain. Number one, there's not a lot of excitement over prayer. Number two, it's on a mountain. And see, they were accustomed by this time that Jesus would go up there and pray, and he would pray for a long time. They could stay down where the food is at, down there in the bottom. So again, I just cannot see the other nine going, let me go, please, let me go. Huh? But what the three did not realize and what the nine did not realize is that the Lord was going to do something. Something he had never done before up on that mountain. You see, when the Lord calls us to pray, we never know what he's going to do in that moment. You may look back and say, oh, but I've gone to pray before and it was just so dry. I felt like I was just talking and nobody heard me. There are those times of prayer. Peter, James, and John knew those kinds of prayer. They knew the times of prayer where they went up on the mountainside with Jesus. Maybe he took the whole bunch of them up there and he went off to pray and they tried their best to pray and thought about everything else and the wind blew and the sun shined and the this and the that and it was work getting up the mountain and they come back down the mountain and say, whoa, boy, I'm not sure why we went there. You see, those that want to see the glory of the Lord have got to be willing to get up when the Lord says, come with me, realizing that it will be in a moment in his choosing, in his manner, in his desire, that he will reveal his glory, his power to our lives. Never know when it's going to happen. But a willingness to get up and to move when the Lord calls us is the beginning of seeing the glory of the Lord. I found a prayer. It says, isn't a pack horse to carry your load? Isn't a wagon its only road? And perhaps the reward of the spirit who tries is not the goal, but the exercise. In other words, our willingness to move, our willingness to go, our willingness to go up the hill, up the mountain, can be part of what God is doing in our lives as he's bending us, winding us. How much farther up the mountain are we going to go? Why can't we pray down here, Lord? Huh? The Lord says, come on, keep going. The soldier that goes in, and in boot camp, they load them down with 60 or 90 pounds of weight, and then they're told to go walk 20 miles. They say, oh my goodness, why do we need to do this? This is just training. Then when they're on the battlefield, and it goes for hour after hour after hour, and the only sustenance they have is what they carry on their backs, and they're out there in the middle of no place, and they realize, oh, I'm so glad somebody taught me how to carry the load. Because now I have it.
You know, there are things coming in your life where you're going to need the presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord. And you're going to need access. You're going to need first-hand access to the Lord. You will get that through spiritual training of going up the mountain and praying when it doesn't feel good, when nothing seems to happen. I can tell you because of the promises of the Lord, He hears every one of those prayers. But the feeling may not be there. The excitement may not be there. Heaven may not open up and you see all of His glory. No. But hear me this morning, if you're willing to time after time after time to answer the call of the Lord, to get up and to move, there will come a time where the heavens will roll back and you'll see the glory of the Lord. Ooh. And then it was beyond anything that I could even begin to describe. You know, I think of Peter and how the Pentecost changed Peter. I mean, he became more than he is and was. When the power of the Holy Spirit came upon him, he became more than he was before the power of the Holy Spirit. But I do want you to recognize there were a few pieces in Peter that exceeded Pentecost. Or maybe I should say, preceded Pentecost. Why was he the preacher on the day of Pentecost and thousands of people gave their hearts to the Lord? It was because before Pentecost he was willing to get up and follow Jesus. From the moment he was sitting in his boat cleaning the nets and Jesus said, come and follow me, Peter got up and left his nets and came and followed Jesus. Were there times of doubt? Were there times of struggle when he didn't understand what was happening with the cross? Yes, he went back to the boat. But as soon as he saw Jesus on the shore, he recognized the voice and he jumped out and he went to his Lord. He was willing to get up. Some of you are waiting to see the glory of the Lord before you will get up. It'll never happen. I'm sorry. It will never happen. Say, well, I'll serve the Lord whenever He comes down and shines His light upon me and I can see His glory. It'll never happen. You've got to be willing to get up. Because there's a need. Because the Lord has called you. Because you love Him so much. Because you realize that if I would move when the Lord says move, things happen. Here's another one. Wake up. Matthew's gospel doesn't record this, but Mark's gospel and Luke's gospel talk about it, and that is that even the three guys, Peter, James, and John, up on the mountain with the Lord, they were tired. They started falling asleep. Do you realize they almost missed? That's what it says. They almost missed the transfiguration. They were so tired. They were so sleepy. And they were given way to that sleep. And then the scripture says, but when they were fully awake, they saw. You know, look, we got to wake up. We've got to wake up to realize that there are things in the Lord that we have never seen. Things that we have never experienced. Things that He would like to reveal to us. What if the Lord would desire to speak prophetically into your life? That is to tell you things that are going to happen in the future. Things that are going to happen ahead. Not just for your life, but for other people's lives. Speaking the truth of the Lord over family members. And they'll probably be the last to listen because a prophet is not without honor except among his own kin. But nevertheless, the Lord may show you things. He may reveal things to you that if people are willing to listen, you could help them and protect them for things that are coming their way. The Lord wants to do that in all of our lives if we are believers. If we will wake up and realize that God has more for us than we presently have. your relationship with the Lord this morning sufficient? Or in need of more? I ate yesterday. Did you eat yesterday? I ate yesterday. Do you know what I'm planning to eat today? As soon as the preacher gets done, I can get on out of here. I've got a plan. I've already bought everything. I'm ready. In about probably within about an hour, I'll be sitting at the table. I'm planning on eating today, even though I ate yesterday. Just the kind of guy I am. And I've even got a plan. You may criticize me for this, but I've got a plan to eat for tomorrow. What we need to understand is that that's the way the Lord ministers in our lives. He gives us enough for today. He has a plan for tomorrow. And if we are willing to seek Him, to wake up and realize He has something for us, His mercies, His grace, His love, His joy, His power is new every morning. Feel sorry for those who only know a Sunday experience with Jesus. Get up. Wake up. Realize that the Lord has something for you each and every day. So, well, I tried that for a while, Pastor, and you know, it was just so dry. Mm-hmm. It'll be that way. And then all of a sudden, on some morning when you're least expecting it, all of a sudden the curtain will pull back and a scripture will come alive. His Spirit will zest into your life and in an unbelievable way. And you think, oh my goodness. And I can tell you exactly what will happen. And you'll be saying the next morning, Lord, let that happen. Let that happen again. You see, I'm sure that Peter, James, and John, after this experience, after they finally woke up and they saw what was happening, they realized this is something that is spectacular, and they came down off of the mountain. I'm sure that they thought, boy, and the next time he says go up to the mountain, I got to make sure that I go. Huh? Okay. I got to give you the third and the fourth one here in 30 seconds. Fear not. When those boys saw the glory of the Lord, they were terrified. Because His glory is so much greater than anything that we can even behold. I don't know if you've ever had an experience with the Lord where you thought, oh my goodness, if this doesn't have a point of ending, I'm not sure I'm going to make it. But that's possible. I won't ask this morning because it's not fair to ask how many have had that kind of an experience with the Lord. But let me tell you that it is there where His Spirit is rushing into you and He is just revealing Himself to you, and His glory and His presence are so powerful. You may be speaking another language. You may not be able to speak at all. You may be on your face stretched out because the glory of the Lord is so incredible. The Lord wants you to realize, fear not. He's going to do something in you. He's going to change you and enable you. You see, if we could long for these things with the same stuff that we worry over things, if you've got something going on in your life, folks, I don't need to tell you, worry about it. Huh? You say, Pastor, you don't need to tell me to worry. I'm going to worry anyway. I don't need to say, think about this continually. Let your mind be on that thing continually. No, because that's what it's going to be. Everything you do will be shaped by that worry. Now, I will ask this. How many of you have experienced that kind of worry in your life where it just was around you all the time? Huh? Anybody? Yeah.
I'm telling you, the same energy drawing can be over the presence of the Lord. Because when you experience His glory, all you can think about is, I need to do that again. I need that again in my life. And everything begins to fall short of it. Then you find yourself like Abraham of old, looking for a city whose builder and maker is God. You think, if a single experience on a mountain, if a single experience in a few minutes can be that powerful, can you imagine what heaven's going to be like? Don't fear. Some people say, oh, well, I'm just not prepared if the Lord would call me to go to China. Fear not, child. He's not going to take you any place that you do not want to go. If you are yielding to Him, if you're willing to get up, if you're willing to wake up, if you're willing to fear not, the Lord will take you to places you cannot even imagine. I have to take you to this last one, and then I'll say the amen to this message, and that is, shut up. Now what he told them? He said to the boys, he said, guys, now hear me. We're heading down the mountain. It was all over. Moses and Elijah were gone. Jesus, the lights were turned out. They're getting ready to head down the mountain, and you can see him just gathering around them. The three guys and himself, he said, now listen, don't tell anybody what you've seen until after my death and resurrection. Several reasons for that. One is they got to be willing to get up, wake up, and fear not in order to see His glory. If there's a lesson that Joseph taught, remember Joseph? How many remember Joseph from the Old Testament? You've been in church long enough, remember? He had two dreams. And he told his dreams to his brothers and to his father. How'd that work out for him? Huh? You know what? I have often wondered. Now you can think about this yourself. I've often wondered how his story would have been told had he shut up. The Lord gave him that dream. If he would have just held it internalized, I believe he still would have been the leader of Egypt. He still would have been the savior of his family. He just would not have had to go through the prison experience and all the trials and all the struggles. Nobody can understand, really understand, your experiences in the Lord. They're your experiences. So, as Jesus said, shut up until He tells you to speak up about the times in the presence of the Lord. I know, see, you know, we always want to tell somebody, but you have to understand, if they're not at a place in their life where they're willing to seek the glory of the Lord, they will not understand, and will often, it will turn to the negative. Maybe even hardship for you when the Lord only wants blessings for your life. So make this journey, if you will, to the mountain of transfiguration an opportunity between you and the Lord. You want to see His glory? I think I have that up there. Let's see. Are you ready to see His glory? Oh, not that one. Be willing to get up right now. How about standing with me? Eye has not seen, ear has not heard the glory
that the Lord would like to reveal to your life? And I can say this with all assurance this morning. When you're ready, when you're willing, the Lord will reveal Himself to you as well. Now again, you may be content, well, one of these days I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to die, I'm going to get to heaven. The rapture is going to take place and I'm going to get to heaven. I'm going to see the Lord then. I'm going to see the glories and the magnificence of Him. Okay. But I believe that there's some of you in here that are hungry. You're hungry. You want to see the glory of the Lord. Got to be willing to get up, climb the mountain of the Lord. David said, who can ascend the hill of the Lord but he who has clean hands and a pure heart? It's a daily walk, longing. But I can tell you this, you will never, ever regret giving the Lord an opportunity to reveal Himself to you. And once you experience it, it's like that old song, then the things of earth grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. When you get a taste, Father in heaven, I thank You this morning that You've given us just a little glimpse of what can be in our lives. I thank You for the treasure that we have of being Your disciple. Following You, listening to Your word, serving You. But I thank You, Lord, that there is a plane of relationship in You. If we're willing to get up, if we're willing to wake up, if we're willing to fear not, Lord, a place where You will take us, where we can see Your glory. I believe that there are those that are hearing us over the internet and those that are standing in this room who have such a hunger in their lives. And I pray, O Lord, that as they turn their undivided attention to You, that they would see You, that You would reveal Yourself to them. And it would be a life-changing experience, one that they never will forget.